too long ago, we were spending an afternoon with my mom and dad at our house, and we had a chance to look at some pictures of my mom from a different time in her life. You know, you do that sometimes. You just break out the old albums. In this case, we were breaking out the computer. We scanned them in and showed we're looking at old pictures. And there was one picture in particular that she wanted me to print out so that she could take it back to Logan Nursing with her, where they lived. And it was one of her as a nurse. It was her when she was a nurse in training after the war, and it was a portrait of her in her hat and nurse's uniform that was taken her shortly after the war had ended, when she was young and her life was full of possibilities. It was about that time that she met my dad, and they were married, and it was just a time when she wanted to go back, and she just had to have me print out that photo from her to take back to show everyone at Logan Nursing. She liked that particular portrait. In that picture was her in that role of caring for others. She liked that. Right at the time when her health was at the point when she required a lot of caring for, she loved the portrait of a different Josie, the one who herself did the caring. It was an ideal portrait of her. One of the discoveries of our faith is that God, when we come to this place, we are reminded that God has such a portrait of each and every one of us. It is a portrait of us, yes, you, Ron, Nanon, yes, you, each and every one of you just as God created you to be. It's a portrait of you, whole and healthy and joyful and at peace, just as God planned and created you to be. And it's hanging up on a divine wall. Only these portraits are not ones that look back. These are portraits of us as we shall look. Whole, at peace, filled with joy. If you go back to the beginning of Scripture, you will also find a portrait there. A portrait of the entire creation as God intended it to be. Diverse, with all the different beautiful animals living together in harmony. In a beautiful harmony. At peace with each other. No struggle, no strife. And in that garden, God walked with humankind, whom God created in His own image. And they talked intimately as friends. Harmonious, joyful, peaceful creation as God intended. It's a portrait. But somewhere along the line, things go wrong. The picture of creation and of our lives become marred. The portraits of our lives as they exist today are a little different than those ideal ones that hang up on God's wall. They're portraits marked by brokenness, by struggle, by sin, by illness. Our portraits are marked by these things. But the one thing is, when we come to this place, is that we are reminded that the difference between the portraits as we are today and the portrait of our creation as it exists today, and the difference between these and the portraits that hang on God's wall, is one thing: healing. Healing. Healing makes the difference between the portraits that we have today marked by sin and the portraits of God as we are intended to be and live and look on wall. And the difference is healing. Healing is God mending the brokenness in our world and the brokenness in our communities and in our relationships and in our spirits and in our emotional lives and in our physical bodies. This is the healing that we pray for. That we pray for every Sunday and every day. And God does intend to heal us. This is what we learn from Jesus over and over again. Not only would the people track him down looking for healing, but he was always on his way toward them. And no social or religious boundary, no injustice, no exclusion, no despair stood so high or went so deep as to keep him from accomplishing his mission of love and grace. In Leviticus, you will read in the 13th chapter, the 45th verse, you will read how lepers are supposed to act. The person who has the leprous disease shall wear torn clothes, and let the hair of his head be disheveled, and he shall cover his upper lip, and he shall cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And they lived outside the walls of the towns. They were to have no contact with everyone else in the town, no contact with their families, because if you were to have contact with these unclean people, their uncleanness would become yours. Their impurity would be passed on to you. So the leper in the ancient world needed not only physical, but social and religious healing. From that experience, they were avoided like the plague. This is why it is so startling that when a leper comes to Jesus begging him, throwing himself at Jesus' feet, when he says, "If you choose, you can make me clean," and it's even more startling that when Jesus hears his words, he's moved with compassion and he stretches out his hand and he touches him. "I do choose. Be made clean." Jesus wants to heal us. But there is a big elephant in the sanctuary. You see it? Huge, huge elephant. If that is God's intention for us, then why are we not yet healed? Why does not God just take all of our struggles, our questions, our hurts, our illnesses, and snap God's fingers, and all of a sudden we're all well and perfect? It doesn't happen that way, does it? C.S. Lewis, the author of the Narnia series, is a well-known intellectual defender of the Christian faith of an earlier time. And he wrote a book in that vein called The Problem of Pain. And in that book, he trains his brilliant mind on the mystery and anguish of suffering. It's a wonderful theological book. But sometime after the writing of that book, his wife dies of cancer. And when he struggled with that terrible loss, his reasoned words, his theology were of little comfort to him. And in the depths of his despair, in the disappointment of the desperate prayers for healing that didn't come, he began to rage against God. And he writes in the journal that was later published, he writes of God, "Go to him when your need is desperate, when all the other help is vain, and what do you find? A door slammed in your face, and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence, you may as well turn away. The longer you wait, the more emphatic the silence will become. There are no lights in the windows. There is no answer. Only the locked door, the iron curtain, the vacuum, absolute zero. Them as asks don't get. I was a fool to ask," he wrote. When we come to this place, when we pray and hope for healing, are we fools to ask? Are we fools to pray for physical healing? Are we fools for praying to be healed of injustice and intolerance? Are we fools for praying for peace in a world of violence? Are we fools for praying for healing from grief? Or freedom from addiction? Or for hope of life beyond death? Are we fools? Many would say yes. Best-selling authors have said yes. One way of looking at the elephant in the sanctuary is to go to the story of Jesus himself, who himself found himself alone on the cross and was up there in that moment of crucifixion, and he himself found himself alone. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is where we often find ourselves. But the story continues, and he is raised. And the mystery of faith is that sometimes we are caught so long up on that cross, waiting for God to raise us up, waiting to move the big stone away from our tombs. And there is no easy answer for this. What we can do is what Scripture teaches us, and that is to pray for each other. You see, this is a healing community. This is a community where we come to be healed and strengthened on our journey toward wholeness as God paints, makes changes in our present portraits so that we eventually come to match the portraits hanging on her wall. God is even now touching up our portraits to match the portraits, the ones of wholeness up on her wall. And it's not only physical healing that we come here for. It's also healing that we from the diseases that we share together, the diseases of greed and addiction and injustice and intolerance. I hope that we see the process of discernment that we are undergoing now on inclusiveness and on sexuality and faith in this light. We want everyone who comes through these doors to make sure that they are introduced to the God who is reaching out to them. Yes, they are sinners. But you know what? They are sinners in the very same way that we all are sinners. And God wants to heal us all. And God wants us to proclaim healing, like the newly blessed former leper who could not keep the good news to himself. There are no requirements, no prerequisites for participation, only a desire to heal and be healed. We do not know quite where the journeys will lead, our corporate journey and our individual journey. Sometimes God's touch may lead us in directions we don't know or can't understand. We do not know when or how God will touch our lives, but the outcome doesn't depend upon us. The adventure begins and ends with the knowledge and faith that God, like a loving parent, is always reaching out to us. That is what we come here to celebrate and discover together. We want to put boundaries. We want to put time limits around God. And we wonder why God doesn't meet those limits. And we come here and we are reminded that God's desire to heal us is limitless. And we will be healed. C.S. Lewis continues to write in his journal. He would eventually step out of that darkness of grief into the light. And he writes, "And so perhaps with God, I have gradually come to feel that the door is no longer shut and bolted. Was it my own frantic need that slammed it in my face? How far have I gone? Just as far, I think, as a widower of another sort would stop leaning on his spade and say in answer to the inquiry, 'Thank thee, mustn't grumble. I do miss her something dreadful. But they say these things are sent to try us.' We have come to the same point, he with his spade and I, who am not now much good at digging with my own instrument. Of course, one must take sent to try us in the right way," he continues. "God has not been trying an experiment on my faith or love in order to find out their quality. He knew it already. It was I who didn't. in his trial, he makes us occupy, in this trial, he makes us occupy the dock, the witness box, and the bench all at once. He always knew that my temple was a house of cards, and his only way of making me realize that fact was to knock it down. Such is the mystery of faith. I've encountered many different types of people, people on many different stages of their journey toward healing. In the church I formerly served was a woman who came to mean a lot to me. She had a profound effect on my own faith. She was a professor at a nearby university, and she was full of life. She loved the sun and being out on the beach. She had a cabana that she would go to almost every day during the summer when she was off from her classes, and she would just bask in the sun while her family played on the beach. And she was a professor of education, and she specialized in reading, and she had pioneered a new program that brought students from her classroom in an affluent liberal arts college. They brought those students, those affluent students, into the poorest classrooms in Long Branch in Monmouth County, and they would read together, and the students would teach the kids to read, and the learning would go in both directions. But this professor, this doctor, by the time I arrived there and got to know her, she had been diagnosed with ALS, with Lou Gehrig's disease. It's a neurological condition that slowly robs you of movement and of speech and eventually of your life. If you have known anybody with ALS, it is a terrible disease. I was still active in the academic world when I came there, and we would have wonderful times of conversation together. We would talk about our classes and about our experiences, and as I sat with her, I would begin to despair as I watched the disease take everything away from her. But still, even as she, her health condition deteriorated, she kept teaching. When she couldn't walk, she used a walker. A walker that she gave to my mom, by the way, when she was done with it. Because when she was done with her walker, she moved to a wheelchair. And when she couldn't speak, she used a computer-assisted speech device to read lectures that she would painstakingly prepare over hours that her assistant would type in for her. And for normal conversation, she had this big old cardboard card. It was about this big, and it had a hole cut out in the middle, and on both sides were letters that matched on each side, and you would look through the middle, and you would talk to her, and she would look with her eyes at the corners of the letter, and you would try to match where she was looking, and she would spell out her sentences. Her mind was completely there till the end. And she would spell out what she wanted to say by looking at the letter. And we would continue our conversations, but she kept teaching, and she kept giving. One day she invited me to a Benny Hinn healing rally. And I couldn't go at that time, but I visited her after and asked her how to go. And she said, she spelled out for me, I wasn't healed. She said that with a smile. On the 120th anniversary of our church in Long Branch, we celebrated our baptismal vows, our dying and rising with Christ, and we had people come forward in the congregation, and they dipped their hands in the baptismal font, and they would each grab a little stone, a little marble that they would take with them as a remembrance of their baptism. And she came forward, her son was pushing her chair, and she could no longer lift her arm, but her son lifted her arm and placed it in the water, and he took out a stone for her, and he placed that stone in her wet hand. And as she passed by, she looked at me, and with her eyes, she smiled, and with her lips, she smiled, and she whispered to me, I'm okay. I could see that the healing had begun. Deep in her spirit, she was at peace. And that healing began to bubble up inside her. It is true, 3 days later, she went to be with her Lord. the stubbornness of her faith that kept giving, the stubbornness and persistence of her faith that kept coming to church and kept stubbornly praying for healing, is something that lives on in me. I've also known other people, persons who have discovered the blessings of healing in the here and now. I hear those testimonies. Pastor, I was healed. I was pulled out of that sickness. I was healed. But they are both testimonies and portraits of journeys toward wholeness. Both are portraits of healing, the healing that God wants for each and every one of us. We are on a journey, my friends, but we are not alone. There's a picture of you hanging on a wall that says so. Amen.